Job 8, verse 1, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, I'm not going to make the customary joke about him being the shortest guy in the Bible. I'm going to ignore that altogether, okay? Just in case you're wondering. Obviously, he's the set, you know, they do customs, like the oldest guy speaks first, you know. Our friend last time, who I forget his name, Eliphaz, he's the oldest. Now, obviously, Bildad would be the second oldest, Zophar being the third oldest. And so they speak in turns, Job answering each one of them in turn. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long will thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? Bildad, old buddy, you've got a firm grasp of the obvious. Your perspicacity is, the perspicacity meter is just pegged out. You're just Captain Obvious today. You get it. God doesn't pervert justice. By the way, I was saying this morning, I was trying to make a point, but then I got distracted midpoint, which I do like most points. I was talking about Allah, and the more I know about him, the more I don't like him. Seems to me a God should be righteous, and he simply doesn't conform to the righteous standard. You know, rape, pillage, looting, beheading, it's all okay. Huh? Yeah. Rape, pillage, loot. Yeah, no, that's fine. Huh? Bildad doesn't have the benefit of the Bible or even the Quran, and Bildad can figure out, does God pervert judgment or does the Almighty pervert justice? No, the answer is obviously not. That's not the issue. You see, we can't disagree with everything these people are saying. It just, you know, has anyone ever come to you and they give you this, you know, counsel, and they give you the verses, and you agree with what they're saying? It just doesn't apply to my situation. Well, this is classic. This is our buddy Bildad. No, God doesn't pervert judgment. No, the Almighty does not pervert justice. Look at this. And now, this is the cruelest thing that anyone's ever said. If thy children have sinned against him, and he hath cast them away for their transgression. What? Really? That's your. How about just like weep with those who weep, Bildad, old buddy? That's your counsel? Well, you know, God's not a, you know, he doesn't pervert justice. So obviously, all 10 of your children died because they were sinners. Listen, if you've ever had the misfortune of burying someone you love, it's because they're a sinner. And by the way, that is true. I can say that now. You know, when somebody dies right there at that time and you're just twisted up with that huge pain. I say this often, death, that strange visitor. We don't know what to do with it. We don't have a file for death. And it's just painful. We just try to bear up under it best we can. Christians, non-Christians alike. Death hurts. And at the time, I'll say, well, it's because they were a sinner. He'll say, you heartless, no good, lousy. And I'll say, you're right. Of course you're right. Now, are they dead because they're a sinner? No. Yes and no. They're dead because of sin, generally, okay? What about crib death? You know what I mean? What about a miscarriage? Well, they must have sinned in the womb or something. Oh, my. If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, is heartless at best. I can say a lot worse. I don't know how Job feels. We haven't buried children. I had a dream last night that my granddaughter died. I had a couple nightmares. One wasn't quite so bad. I was here, and I was saying, okay, open to the book of Luke. And I had this Bible that was about this thick, and like the last three quarters of it were notes put in there by a psychopath. It didn't, like, you know, if you open it up, you couldn't tell exactly where you are. And so I was flipping through it. I was trying to, I'd open up to Luke 23, and I'm flipping. I finally, like 5 minutes later, find Luke 23, but everyone's kind of rolling their eyes. Some people have gotten up and left, and I'm just like, finally found Luke 23, and I feel like such an idiot because I don't know where Luke is in my Bible, but it's like I say, it's this huge Bible with just, so that was like my first nightmare, not so terrifying. My second one, my granddaughter died. My son and her on the top of this skyscraper building, right, and she falls off, and he goes to grab her, and she's clutching onto this handful of coins, and he's trying to grab her by the, but he can't quite, and she falls to her death. And I cried and cried and cried and woke up, and for a couple of seconds, I had that excruciating, pain. And then I said, oh, it's a dream. Those were horrible 2 seconds. You're saying, I'm not really crying for you. I'm not really feeling horribly bad. But I have dreams like this from time to time, just like, you know, crazy, weird, bad, you know, death of loved ones kind of dreams. But I've never had that in my real, you know, my dad died, my mother-in-law died. You know, some people I love died, but it hasn't come that close to home where I had buried children. And if not, if that ever happens to me, can you do me a favor? Or if something happens to one of your friends, can you do me a favor still? Can you do them a favor? Hey, well, you know, that's probably just because they're sinners. Because, you know, God's good, and he doesn't... Yeah, ow. Can you just not do that? A sympathy card. Maybe a hug. That's the proper, in case you're wondering. And you can, if you don't, if you're wondering and you're floundering, don't know what to do, Emily Post probably has some lovely suggestions. I'm just guessing. But the Bible has even better ones. If thou would seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Now, he doesn't know, but that's what's going to happen to Job. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days are upon earth are a shadow. Well, if you know nothing, and that's true, by the way, Bildad, then say nothing. Listen, here's wonderful counsel. You're welcome. If you don't know anything, don't say anything. Really. I mean, I think that some people just, they just don't like silence. So they got to fill it up with blather. Like this guy. By the way, in the verse number 8 where he says, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. No mention here of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's probably he's living at that time or before that time. You know what I mean? No mention of Moses, no mention of any of the patriarchs. It's interesting to me. Verse 10, shall they not teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? No. Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Yeah. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Okay, I see what your point is, Bildad, but you weren't in chapter 1. You weren't in heaven. You don't know what's going on. You know, Satan was there. God pointed out Job to Satan. Hey, have you checked out Job? Yeah, I've seen Job. Just nothing special. I mean, yeah, okay, he might be a good guy. You've bribed him into serving you. And if Bildad knew all that, would he be involved in this twaddle? And mean-spirited twaddle. I mean, you know, so are all the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Job, this is a little close to home, old buddy, you hypocrite, you. That's what he's saying. Yeah, the reason you're really suffering, Job, is, you know, It's like a flag growing up without mire. Can a rush grow up without mire? Can a flag grow up without water? Well, no, they need water. They need swampy ground. While it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withers before any other herb. Once the ground dries up, it's going to fade and fade fast. So that's how you are, basically, is what he's saying. I mean, read between the lines. Otherwise, what's he talking about that for? Whose hope shall be cut off, whose trust shall be a spider's web. You know, you ever lean against a spider web? You ever walk through it? Like, you know, it's like in the branches of a tree or something, you walk through it. It's really gross. But you know, does it stop you from, like, I saw a Far Side episode, you know, had a spider made a web at the bottom of a slide. You know, he thought, you know, he'd catch a kid and then, you know, feast forever and stuff like that. A little kid coming down a slide is going to break through that spider web. I don't care what spider spins it, you know what I mean? What Jurassic Park spider. It's just, a spider's web's not much, you know what I mean? I mean, it is for a spider, and it's okay for a fly, but he's saying, like, you know, your hope is like, it's like being suspended from a spider web. You know, good luck on that. But that's the way a hypocrite is. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. Oh, my goodness, this man is crueler than cruel. I mean, his kids died when the house caved in, you remember? The four winds blew on the corners of the house, smote it, and the house caved in. That's how the kids died. This guy is just Mr. Sensitivity. I wonder what his wife, how I wonder how she's faring. You know, the best of my best friends, my best hairy-faced buddies, none of them are super sensitive. You know what I mean? We're guys. We don't do sensitivity real well. This guy, he's bringing it to new lows. You know, if my wife says, you're an insensitive lout, and I say, you know, you're right, but at least I'm not Bildad the Shuhite, and then she'd have to say, yeah, that's true, you know, so at least I'm, you know, I didn't pull a Bildad on her. You hypocrite, you are depending on a spider's web. Your house is falling down. And I mean, you know, this guy here, he's got it all. He's Mr. Sensitivity, like I say. He shall lean upon his house, it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun. His branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap and seeth the place of stones. Like roots on stones, you know, it's not going down deep is the idea. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. The answer, long and short of it, Job, you're in trouble because you're a sinner, because you're a hypocrite. Oh, yeah, you're Mr. Righteous, but obviously there's secret sin, and now it's come to the front. Listen, God doesn't pervert justice. That's just how it is, Job. Your kids are evildoers, your house has fallen, this is the whole thing. God will not cast away a perfect man. The reason he's cast your way is because you're not upright in all your goings. Neither will he help the evildoers till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Now, some of these things I agree with. No, God doesn't pervert justice. That's correct. It just doesn't apply here. That's the whole thing. So, you know, some of these things that he's saying, although he's very, very cruel, some of these things are true. Again, you know, someone will come to you with the Bible and they'll quote these verses, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Is that ever not true? It's always true. Sometimes it's not the verse that you want to hear, and sometimes it's not the verse that you should hear. You know what I mean? All verses of the Bible are true. Some are more salient to the, more pertinent to the situation at hand. Can we say that? Okay, let's move on. Now God's, Job's going to answer our buddy Bildad here in verse 9. Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, contend is a legal term, and he's saying, like, you know, I can't have my day in court with God. And he's getting kind of profound here a little bit. If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. Listen, if God started asking questions, how could we answer God one in a thousand answers? You know what I mean? I understand that God's God, and I'm not. At the end, the last three chapters, I think it's three chapters, God will ask Job 77 questions. None of which Job will hit out of the park. None will he get any wood on the ball, not even a foul tip. I mean, 0 for 77. 77 pitches, 77 strikes, okay? Nothing. He doesn't even come close to answering one of them. Our buddy Job's a little bit insightful here. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? It's a good point. And I think also what he's saying is, it's not that I've hardened myself again. I haven't turned away from him. I know my heart, I know my mind, I know my motives. Yeah, you're talking about hypocrites not prospering. I am what I say I am. I'm really, you know, I've never met anyone who wasn't a hypocrite to one degree or another in this. We say we shouldn't sin. We all sin. We say we believe that God is righteous and holy, and we should be as such. But we're not always that way. There's always some hypocrisy to one degree or another. Okay? Understanding it, confessing it, not being satisfied with it. Because, I mean, a lot of us just like, you know, that's the way I am. That's the way I'll always be, you know. Hey, man, what are you going to do? That's my, and then we blame it on our heritage. That's my Latino temperament. That's my Irish or Italian, my, or whatever, for our either short fuse, our inability to, you know, get away from lasciviousness or drunkenness or whatever our particular situation is. That's, you know, and then we blame it on our heritage. That's hypocrisy. That's the part where God's just saying, that's not good. Acknowledging our sin, constantly confessing is what he wants. A willingness to turn from it. A divine dissatisfaction with sinfulness. Job understands this. You know, he's saying he's wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who's hardened himself against him? In the other inferences, not me. Who's hardened himself against him and has prospered? Which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. This is before Jesus walked on the water. Job, he never read, you know, the Gospel of Mark. He hasn't read any Psalms, although he's kind of writing Psalms here. He hasn't had the benefit of the Bible knowledge that we have, but he seems to know a lot about God. Look at this. He commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and he sealeth up the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens. He alone spreads out the heavens. That's pretty insightful. How many times in the Bible does it talk about spreading out, the stretching out the heavens? It's kind of like the same language here. What does Job know? Yeah, I'd like to talk with him in our language that I could understand. Say, you know, what does, you know, he really know about God? Did he understand like Trinitarianism? Maybe not. Did he understand salvation like we understand it today? I mean, he had some insight here. You know what I mean? Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. I know Christians get shook about this. It's just groups of stars. They still have those same names. We still know Orion today, and the Pleiades, and Arcturus. These are old, ancient. This has nothing to do with horoscopes or anything like that. You know. And by the way, you know, the Pleiades and Orion, those aren't Leo and Virgo and you know what I mean. And even then, you know, some people think that those stories, that the Hebrew, what they call the Matzaroth, were a mnemonic for telling the story of creation and redemption. Scorpio, that would be my sign. That's not a good sign. That's Satan, because Jesus says we'll give you power to tread on snakes and scorpions, you know, and Leo the lion is Christ himself, and Virgo would be the virgin, you know, and the stars in the order of brilliance, they have names, and they speak the plan of God. The horoscope is a Babylonian perversion of that. And knowing these stories, it's like how Adam would talk to Abel about Cain and Abel. Cain didn't learn his lessons very well, about the plan of God, using the stars as like a tool to, some people think that, okay? And this seems to be, you ever see, hear any one of these things, like Chuck Missle's fans, the gospel and the stars, that stuff like that is very, very interesting, and I've heard a lot of things about that. I've heard different ones teach and preach on that. It's interesting. God made all the stars, and he named them all. This has got nothing, like I say, got nothing to do with horoscopes or anything like that. And remember, you know, stars aren't evil. You know, we look at that and we think like, oh, you know, horoscopes are bad. That's right. But stars aren't, okay? That's someone put on the stars, you know what I mean? And using for fortune telling, you know, that's the problem, okay? You know, I like that, the Chinese ones. You eat in a Chinese restaurant, it's got the year of the snake, the year of the rat, the year of the... Me and Sousa, the year of the... Because we're born the same year. We're the year of the boar. Not boar, like boring, like wild boar. You know, like, I mean, with the, you know, like a razorback or something like that. And it says, you know, we should marry rabbits or roosters or snakes or dragons, but never, ever, under any circumstance, marry another boar. But... 35-year marriage, you know, tells that, you know, Chinese fortune-telling thing that it's, you know, it's all a bunch of, you know what I mean? So we have to divorce immediately. I'm sorry. It's just I should never have gotten involved with you. I should have took you out to Chinese food. I would have saved you a lot of heartache, you know what I mean, right at the beginning. But here we are, in for a penny, in for a pound. 35 years this year, so I'm... Anyway, all this to say, he makes the Arcturus, Orion, the Pleiades, and the Chambers of the South, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. He does great things, and they're unsearchable. They're past finding out. No matter how much Bible you know, no matter how much studying you do, God reveals himself to us. We can't discover him. We can't uncover. There's no test tube. There's no, when we look at the heavens, it doesn't tell us much about him except that he's big and that he's awesome. We can't discover things about him. He can disclose things about himself and put them in his word and things, you know, and so we can find out certain things, but his ways are past finding out. Now, he's been God for a long time. Every time our life starts moving sideways a little bit, we start getting trouble, we start wondering if he's God or not. Don't you see what's happening? And we're all stressed and, you know, we lost a job or there's sickness or there's, you know, different things. And he's saying each day he's finding a new way to say the same question. Do you trust me? I'm God. I know how to be God. I love you. You have no idea how much. I couldn't describe it. If I could make you understand how much I love you, your head would explode. It couldn't even hold all. You couldn't even understand it. Do you trust me? With this great love that I have for you, do you trust me? I'm taking you through a situation. Do you trust me? And you know, you sound like I'm preaching at you now. No, I wrestle with the same things you go through. I had that, big, long shutdown. I complained the whole time. No, I did. I hated being here. I don't want to be here. The Gestapo here. My feet hurt all day long. This is the most boring, long days in my whole life. When you leave at 5 in the morning, come back at 9 at night, your day is defined by your job. I'm not walking with my wife. I'm not spending any time with my family, with my friends, with my studies. What am I saying? I'm saying God lost control. He lost track of me. The owner of my company has more control over me than God. And God, obviously, I fell through his fingers. I'm subtly saying I'm dissatisfied with what God's doing in my life. And I'm just like everybody else. Now, I like kind of like a do-over, not that do-over. I hated that. But I mean, I want to like, you know, and I think I'll get a do-over because like Ken always was fond of saying, you know, all God's tests are pass or do-over. So I'll get another chance to, and I'll shut up. And people will say, I'm hoping to God I'll shut up. And people say, how's it going? I'll say, good. Well, isn't that a good answer? Like God's still God. He's still, his ways are past finding out. I'm working myself to a bone. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But you know, God's God. And this is what he's got for me in this season. And you know the other thing too about like this, you know, how many people would give their right arm to have that much work? I'm complaining and, oh, I hate this and I hate this. And I'm thinking, people like to say, hey, you don't like it? Move aside. I'll take your place in a New York minute. You're kidding me? I've been out of work for a year and a half. I've been eating dog food and you're complaining. You got too much work? Oh, poor you. So, you know, his ways are past finding out. When I'm going through a situation, I should remember that. You should remember that, but I should remember that. His ways are past finding out. He does great things and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Isn't that remarkable? He's like right here, but I don't know that. He's like, he could walk right in front of me. I wouldn't even know. Like I say, he knows a lot of stuff. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what do you think you're doing? What doest thou? Hey, I wasn't done with that. I wasn't done with them kids yet. Yeah, bring them sheep back here. What do you think's going on here? He can do what he wants to do. He taketh away. I love Job. I mean, I really do. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When my 35-year marriage, and hopefully by that time it's like 75-year marriage, comes to an end, it will someday, I will say, the Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What else can you say? Hey, I knew that there's nothing he gives you that's forever in this world. This world isn't forever. So he's given us blessing, a multitude of, and when he finally is done blessing you in that situation, takes it away from you, okay, fair enough, you're God. Now, I hope I'll be that, you know, much of a stalwart about it and that, you know, faithful and stuff. I have an idea I'll be a little girl like I tend to be when, you know, when things are, you know, piling up against me. I complain. So I'm such a punk sometimes. I make myself sick. I really do. You guys, if I were you, I'll get up and walk out sometimes. I'm just telling you. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not draw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop unto him. How much less shall I answer him and choose all my words to reason with him? How am I going to win my day in court with him? What am I going to explain to him and say, hey, you know what you didn't understand? What you don't understand about this situation, God, let me bring this to your attention. You know, people do that, or they think they're going to do that with God, like he's this. This is the fact, and if you present this to him, then he'll say, oh, you're right. I didn't think of that. I'm so glad you brought that to my attention. Again, no suggestion box in heaven. How much less shall I answer him and choose all my words to reason with him, whom, though I were righteous yet, would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. Is that true? Yeah. Yeah. It's not because Job's done anything wrong. And the Bible tells us that. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. He won't allow me to take a breath. This is what he's suffering under, the anguish. He can't catch his breath. It's hard to argue with people when you can't catch your breath. He's one of the many, many things. He says he's got this raging fever. He's got this dry, cracked skin that's infested with maggots. Kind of really nifty. What has he got? He's got devilitis. He's got an attack by Satan who will take everything that God gives him. By the way, everything you give him, he'll take. Everything you give him, he'll take. God says, you can take all, you can mess with his stuff, just don't hurt him. He doesn't have anything left after Satan gets done with him, but he's not hurt because Satan can't go one micrometer past where God says, but he'll go right up to where God allows because he's that way. He's psychotic. Okay, you can hurt him. Don't kill him. So he's hurting him the most painful, humiliating, grotesque. He can't even catch his breath. It's like it's some kind of pneumonia heaving kind of thing going on, trying to argue with these guys, and he can't hardly even breathe. I don't think I'll deal with Satan. I don't think I'll follow him. He's not a good person. I mean, if we can come away with anything from these stories, come away with some of these things, right? He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. We understand what he's saying because we live the same way. What am I going to tell him? I'm righteous. God, you're going to treat me better than this. I'm more righteous. Wait a second. I better not say that because I'm going to bring to mind all the things I've done that were unrighteous. Oh, you're righteous. I mean, listen, we go to God's presence. I demand you pay me everything I've got coming to me exactly according to my works. This is what I want. That's not a good place to stand. Job, my buddy Job understands this. If I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul, I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. Boy, he does. He does. If you're upright, if you're a righteous man, or if you're a despot, if you're a pervert, or you're a pleasant person, if you're a nice person, or you're nasty, you're still going to die. What was that rabbi wrote that bad things happen to good people? There are no good people. We know that. But whether you're a really, you know, salt of the earth kind of nice person, or you're really just a horrible, the same things happen to both those people. And we learn that in Ecclesiastes, life under the sun, outside of God, apart from God, under the sun, right? The same thing happens to them all. Solomon says, the fool and the wise man. They both have, you know, sickness. They both have heartache. There's death in their family. You know, there's one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Now my days are swifter than a post. A post is like the postman. The idea is it's almost like kind of like a precursor to the Pony Express. Someone who delivers news, okay? Not the mail so much, but you know when you have there's no telephone in this day. I'm sure you know that. So when the declarations from the king go by post, by people run to and from with the message from the king. That's the idea. My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. He's back talking about this one thing. He destroys the perfect and the wicked. I don't care if you're an upright man or you're not a man of faith at all. You don't believe in God. You know, when it's all done, you're going to say, man, this was done too soon. This is just like way fast. We look at our life and we say, where'd it go? This is crazy. Weren't we just dating just a couple weeks ago? Didn't we just get married, like, was it last week or something? No, it was 35 years ago. 35 years. I'd imagine, I can remember when I was your age, just newly married, not even married a year yet. And it was like, you know, I wake up one day and I'm like an old guy or something. My wife's not. It doesn't work the same in her world as it does in mine. But you know, it's like, when did I get old? What happened? You know, I used to be, you know, mom says, my mom, who's in her 70s, says, she still feels like a little kid. She feels in her heart of hearts like she's 18 still. Thinking like, Mom, that ship has sailed. I hate to be the one to tell you, but I know what she's saying. I mean, I really know what she's saying. It's like you still feel like a kid. Your body doesn't react like it used to when you were 18. But it's my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the ships, swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. God said he's upright in all his ways. But he's saying God won't hold me innocent. He's righteous like you're righteous. By the faith of the blood of the Lamb. His Lamb was actual Lamb. Our Lamb is the capital T, the Lamb of God. But he has faith in that, like sacrifice will take away sin, like we have faith that ultimately the sacrifice of the Lamb of God will take away all our sin. But he's saying, it's not that I've gone sinless, because I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know thou will not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou shalt plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am. Now listen to this. This is very, very profound. He's not a man like I am, that I should answer him, we should come together in judgment. God's not a man. God says that he's not a man. He's not a man like I am, that I should answer him, we should come together in judgment. We're not going to sit over coffee and hash this out. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. You know what the problem is? I wish there was a go-between. I wish there was a middleman. I wish there was a mediator, someone who knows what it's like to be me, and someone who knows like to be what it is to be God. Like if two of you are fighting, I'm gonna purchase all my credibility with both of you. I'm gonna cash that in to get you back together. I'm just gonna like stand between and try to amend that relationship. I would do that. You should too. That's what righteousness looks like. There is someone who does that between man and God that Job didn't know about. There is a mediator. There is a daysman that would be betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both. Let's look at that, 1 Timothy. I know you know these verses, but I kind of want to get them on the recording, and also it won't hurt us all to review them, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy 2, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. The man Christ Jesus, who put on flesh and dwelt among us. You know, one of the many, many, many reasons I dislike Allah, I'm going to file and make a big catalog all my reasons, but this is one of the main reasons. He's too good for us, or he thinks he is. Oh, he's Satan. I mean, we know that. But he thinks he's better than us. He can't become a man. Any God that's too big to walk in human shoes has outgrown any hope of human use. Like Allah. No. My God put on flesh, hung naked on a cross. He knows what it's like to be a man, okay? He clothed himself in humanity and he walked among us. And so he's capable, fully capable, the only one who's capable. He's the only God-man. I know some people, like our Catholic friends, want to make Mary the mediatrix, but there's a problem with her. She's entirely human. She's not divine at all. How can she be a go-between man and God? She has to be one. She has to be both of those. Only one person is uniquely qualified, and it's Jesus Christ. And he's more than willing to do it, because Hebrews says, and we should turn to Hebrews. Hebrews tells us, if I can find Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this. Verse 14, we know verse 15. Verse 14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's one, he's a high priest. Two, he's passed into the heavens. Now he's with God. He's Jesus, that's his human name, but he's the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. With that in mind, 16 has got to be the truest verse. And listen, look at this. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. You walk up to the throne of grace like you own it. Come bold as butter. Why? Because God's word says to. Just, we belong there. We have a reason to be there. We're invited there. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we have a high priest. Because he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because he knows what it's like to be us. That's the whole problem with Job. He's thinking like, yeah, I wish there was somebody, a go-between. I wish there was somebody halfway in between us who could lay his hand on both of us and bring us together, have this meeting of the minds so I could understand, God, why are you doing this to me? I've been worshiping you. I've been loving you. I've been trying to serve you my whole life. My whole life went sideways all of a sudden. Ridiculously, incredibly, crazily, not just coincidentally. I mean, I know there's something to this. And what are you trying to tell me? I wish there was a go-between. I wish there was somebody who could, you know, put his hand on you and his hand on me and bring us together on this. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us. Oh, Job, you hang on, buddy. You'll find out. Let him take his rod away from me and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Look, let's do chapter 10. It'll go by very fast. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Boy, he does. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Lord, what is it? You've been there. Don't tell me you haven't. Something's going wrong. And he's like, Lord, what? What? Can you just tell me what? And this is. He's crying out like, just, what are you contending with me for? It is good unto thee that thou shouldst oppress, that thou shouldst despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. Is it good? It's a question. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldst oppress, thou shouldst despise the work of thy hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seest? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after my iniquity, and searchest after my sin. They're saying, it's because you're a sinner. He's saying, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. But I've been a sinner all along. I've had faith in God. I've done the sacrifice things. You remember he's sacrificing on behalf of his sons. His sisters go to the house of this brother and then this brother and this brother. They all take turns and stuff like this. And he's thinking, you know, maybe they're sinning in their heart. I better make a sacrifice to God. He's saying, what did I do? What is it, Lord? I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinful human being. How come... that thou inquirest after my iniquity and searchest after my sins? Thou knowest I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. I'm not a rebel, Lord. I haven't rebelled against you. That idea of wickedness. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? You know, Proverbs says he remembers our frame that were but dust. And Job's kind of, like I say, he could write some of these psalms. Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? That's very descriptive. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. For it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest my witnesses against me, and increaseth thine indignation upon me. Changes in war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb, or that I have given up the ghost, and no eye should have seen me? See, he's gone back to that. That was his first complaint. He said, why didn't I just die from the womb? What's the sense? What, I'm living all this life. I'm trying to live for you. I've acquired all this wealth. Boom, gone in an instant. Why didn't I just die and just been, what is the purpose of all this? It's just futile. It's vain. And he's going back to that whole thing. Why'd you bring me out of the womb anyway? Oh, that I'd given up the ghost and no eye had seen me. Why didn't I just be stillborn is kind of the idea. That I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Womb to the tomb with nothing in between. That would have worked out good. Are not my days few? Cease then, let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. What he doesn't know is what God hath prepared for them that love him. What he doesn't know is at thy right hand are joys evermore. He has some hazy ideas about death. Again, this is before the Torah. This is before the Pentateuch. I mean, there's some things like, you know, he just doesn't have it clearly defined. He thinks, you know, okay, the grave and that's it. You know, it's darkness, light, it's all the same. It's, you know, it's over on the other side. Now, we're going to hear from our friend Zophar next. We're going to save him for next time. I know you want to go through Zophar right now, but listen, we can only go Zophar. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. So we'll save him for next time, okay? There you have it. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we confess, we think we know more about you than Job, and I think your word tells us a lot about you. You're gracious. Your mercy, your goodness to us is based on the fact that you love us and that you're a good and gracious God. And Lord, yeah, we've sinned. We all understand this, and we don't want what we deserve, Lord. We want of your mercy and of your grace and of your goodness. And, you know, as we look at these things, these basic things to us, the same questions that people have asked throughout all the millennia, people are still asking. And Lord, help us to give them the answer. There is a daysman. There is a mediator. There is a gracious high priest who knows what it means to be human. Lord, this is the thing. You're awesome and you're good. And help us to just, knowing that, share that with others and tell them about your wonderful son. And help us, having studied these things, Lord, just be able to tell people about. I mean, isn't that the whole thing, Lord? Isn't that what we're here for? To just advance your kingdom, to tell everyone about your marvelous son, the Savior, in whom we put our trust and all our sins are washed away. Give us, even this week, Lord, give us opportunities to share and just, again, Lord, advance your kingdom. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray, amen.